Shalom. Welcome to the Kurt Landry Podcast Network. I'm Rabbi Kurt Landry. And listen, I have got a very special guest. This will be our second program, Pastor Philip Thornton. He is from Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, and from Legacy Faith Church. He and his wife, Gwen, are founders there. And I love this. I'll say this because it's one of the things that Christy and I love. Like our family, only his is much larger, all his family serves the Lord in the kingdom work there. He's been in 20 nations. He comes out of a legacy from Dr. Lester Summerall, and he has a unique ability, and I really feel like he carries the gift of wisdom and knowledge. But he also, what we're going to talk about is the second part of fourth dimension. I think the revelation of the fourth dimension, and Pastor said this earlier in the earlier podcast, that it's not something that you just listen to this message once and you go, okay, good, I'm operating the fourth dimension. I personally am going to, I can just tell you right now, I'm dedicating my life to mature myself in the fourth dimension over the next 10 years. So that's my plan. You know, you have to have spiritual goals. My goal is to go deeper. And because when I started into the revelation of fourth dimension, I realized that all the positive things that Christy and I have ever been involved in came out of the throne of God's glory and were revelatory with not only knowledge, but impartation, and everything that we've done that was just good and everything we've done that failed came out of the flesh and out of the third dimension. So I really think it's time where we start focusing on the fact that, listen, we need to do what Pastor said. He said earlier, he says he's trained his church, Legacy Faith. They used to say body, soul, and spirit. Now he says spirit, that they are a spirit. And I'll let him go into that, but share how you start there. I think that is a great habit and pattern for us as a place to start, because habits and patterns, how you feel is how you see, and what you say is what you'll have. So here's the key is how, share with us why and how effective it's been in your congregation, in your church there, that in such a pivotal spot in the United States, about why you put the spirit identity first.
Well, again, I think that we all understand the basic principle that we're not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, transformation or the renewing of the mind literally means a complete change of the way that you think. And so I began to realize, instead of just spirit, soul, and body, that if we can get the people to understand, one, they're created in God's image and after his likeness, and the Bible says God is spirit. He is the Father of all spirits. And so if we will now take that and recognize and begin to confess for ourselves, matter of fact, I encourage the people to say it with me when I say it, I am a spirit. I live in my body and I possess my soul. And that's how we taught the congregation, because like you said a moment ago, we're trying to get them to understand that it's the dimension of the spirit that God operates in. It's his first dimension. That's where he communicates with man. That's where his word dwells. His word is spirit and life. Everything that God does is spiritual. And so therefore, mankind is not attempting to be spiritual. Mankind is already a spirit being. The problem, of course, with most of mankind, or those that are not yet redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, is that they've not yet been born from above in their spirit, but it doesn't mean that they're not spiritual. So as born-again believers, we have to bring them into the basic understanding that I'm a spirit. Before anything else, that's who I am. That's the part of me that's eternal. That's the part of me. That's who God knew before the foundations of the world. Before I was ever in my mother's womb, that's the one that God knew. And that's the one that will dwell in eternal dimensions forever and forever. Now, I live in my body, and this is my earth suit, so to speak, for now. We all understand that. And God has given me the stewardship of possessing my soul. And this is something that really carries a lot of weight as it relates to the body of Christ, because so many believers, frankly, are lazy and think that when they got born again, now their soul belongs to God. No, your soul belongs to you. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are subjected to what you subject it to. And so as a believer, if you are constantly subjecting your soul to the three-dimensional realm, then your soul is limited by that which has, by definition, limitations. Everything in the three-dimensional realm has a beginning and an end, but you don't. And so that's why it's important for you now to begin to live in, if you will, the fourth dimension, but by the Spirit, and recognize I'm a spirit living my body and I possess my soul. Now I can train my soul to think spiritual thoughts. I can train my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions to operate spiritually. Proverbs 28:25 says, a man with an untrained spirit is like a city without walls, broken down. Well, I don't want to live like a city without walls. I don't want to be like the United States of America right now with open borders. No, I want to guard my heart, guard my mouth, and make sure that my soul is yielded to and conducive to thinking God thoughts, possessing the mind of Christ, operating according to the will of God. So that's how we've trained the believers at Legacy Faith and continue to do so. And you said it just a moment ago as well, that it's not something that happens just because you think you're going to do it one time. It is the repetitive training and disciplining of the mind and the spirit. Something that I say frequently is, listen, none of this is difficult, but all of it is discipline. It takes discipline to walk in.
So let me ask you this. Like, I know you've been to 20 different countries and you go to India and I believe Pakistan and, you know, a lot of these different places where cultures are very diverse from what we're used to here in America. So do you teach fourth dimensional principles when you go overseas, or do you just do it for, let's say, for a more culture like in the United States, like what you have in Harrisburg, or do you just do it everywhere you go?
Well, so again, you and I as men of God called to impart to teach people how to operate in the manifold wisdom of God, the fourth dimension should become natural to us to the degree that it excites, ignites, and brings expectation in the life of others. So to answer your question, I teach it everywhere. Now, I may not teach it like we're talking about it now, but everywhere you go, you're wanting to introduce people to the realm of God's glory, and that's literally teaching the fourth dimension. Now, once you introduce them to the power, the presence, the anointing of God, then you have to teach them how to get it in their own life and then how to live it and or access it regularly. And of course, that's why you don't go to India once, you go back over and over and over, or you tune them in and bring them into a place where they can learn more and more and more. I am, Rabbi, I'm convinced, and this is somewhat of a recent revelation, but I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul, who was probably one of the greatest fourth dimensional teachers, he's the one that said,
yeah, I would agree.
Listen, I count everything that I've learned as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of him. I count everything that I knew sitting under the feet of the greatest Jewish scholars in the world at that time. I count that as nothing in order that I might obtain the knowledge of the glory of God, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the fourth dimension. And I'm convinced that we see, or we get a glimpse of this when Paul is teaching the church in Corinth. And of course, he writes the second letter, and in chapter 12 is where he shares his experience of having been caught up into the third heaven, or going to heaven. Now, Paul, when he's teaching the church in Corinth, he says this was beyond 14 years ago. So if you put the timeline on it from the time that Paul was knocked off the donkey on the road to Damascus to the time that he's teaching in Corinth, it was about 15 and a half years later that the second letter to Corinthians came. So Paul is now writing this letter to the church of Corinthians, referring to an experience he had very early on in his conversion. And so I believe that Paul accessed the fourth dimension in such a level, in such a degree, that literally the rest of his life, the letter to Colossians church, the letter to Ephesians, all of these were him trying to get to the body of Christ, the understanding that, like we said in the first broadcast, like stars, like sand, we live in two dimensions at the same time. We are God's children. It is the grace of God that has brought us into this. None of us can earn it, but every one of us can access it through the blood of Jesus and through faith. And so anyhow, I believe that that's something that we're going to see and recognize is that everything that Paul taught in the subsequent letters or the letters that Paul wrote to the church is literally him attempting to describe and explain and teach to believers, regardless of what city they were in, portions of his fourth dimension experience of literally coming into heaven and seeing Jesus Christ in heavenly places there, the very court of heaven, and Jesus as the high priest under the order of Melchizedek functioning in the heavenly altar in heavenly places. I mean, there's so much that's in there. I could teach for hours on it, but that's really what I believe. And I believe that that's also a very important key of fourth dimensional understanding.
Yeah, I Pastor Philip, I totally agree. You know, we're just sharing here, and we've not ever shared any of this before. So I just kind of want to share with you my kind of my personal experience as I'm really preparing. You know, I know in November we've got an election, but we've also got the fall feast, and it's going to be 5785. Okay, so we're moving into these fall. I'm believing some huge grace breakthroughs for Israel in the fall feast. So I believe there's going to be some divine intervention. But I want to get your opinion on this, from your experience reading the Word and as a teacher. My experience has been, if you follow the Apostle Paul, who was a Jewish scholar, he was a rabbi's rabbi. He was the highest level. He had dual citizenship in Israel and in Rome. He was a unique individual. And the reason he was killing Christians is because he was trying to protect the purity of what he believed. He believed that his people were being proselytized into an apostate religion. And then when he gets knocked off the horse, he realizes that, you know, why are you kicking against me? And so I understand it. But also, we have to understand, for us as the body of Christ and as teachers, and a lot of leaders follow this podcast, is my journey is almost the opposite of Paul's, in the sense that Paul's journey, if you read his books and if you read what he says in Acts and you read what he says in Romans, he is processing, bringing information. This is just me, okay? This is me. He's processing information and he's trying to confirm to a Jewish audience as well as a Gentile, because that's what he knows. That's how he processes. And then as he is sent into Asia, and so he's in Ephesus and that region, now all of a sudden he's dealing with these Gentiles. So what's happening is he's having to change the way he communicates to this Goyim, Gentile audience. He's having to adjust. So you're watching the adjustments of it. And listen, Paul's my hero. I followed him, but I'm watching him start out like, oh man, I've got to make my message for these Jewish people. And then he gets sent to the Gentiles. And then as he starts to go into the Gentiles, he realizes he's in really unfamiliar turf and he can't use the intellect and all the knowledge that he had. So now he's having to be pushed into that fourth dimension and unpack from the fourth dimension in order to speak to these people who are extremely spiritual. I mean, they've got, like, every family's got 10 or 12 gods and and they operate in sorcery, and they're not like the Jews. The Jews never had all these multiple God things. So he's having to adjust. So he's having to go into the fourth dimension for counseling from the Holy Spirit to go, you got to help me. I don't know. How do I deal with these people? And so what happens is you're watching a progression of him go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as he goes deeper into the fourth dimension, his letters become more powerful and more rich, and his ministry becomes, really more perfected. I'm on a different path right now. It's interesting. I have been teaching the Gentiles since I got saved. I got saved as a Jewish believer. I got saved and I was sent to the Gentiles. I spent a little season with Messianics, but I primarily was sent to the Gentiles. But now I'm coming up on the end of my season, and the Lord's preparing me to go to the Jews. See, now it's like my story got flipped around. And so I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm going, man, how in the world am I going to deal with my people? How am I going to deal with these Israelis and the languages and Ishmael, the Arabs, and all, you know, we're being sent. That breakthrough's coming. The fullness of the Gentiles. And that word fullness is very much a fourth dimensional type word. So anyway, we're coming into this season where I think the church is going to have to, the ecclesia, is really, we're all going to have to go into the fourth dimension to say, Lord, how is it that you want to communicate what we have been blessed to have for almost 2,000 years, and now it's being returning to Zion? How do we do that?
Well, I think that your personal experience, of course, is not just profound, but prophetic. Paul wrote, of course, in the book of Romans that the church, believers, would begin to provoke Israel to jealousy. And I believe that your journey, of course, is going to model and pattern that. The things that you learned about the gifts of the Spirit and things that you learned in the Christian church and the Word of Faith movements under T.L. Osborne and these guys to prepare you to realize and understand the power of the Holy Spirit that works through the life of a believer is not something that we take light or something that we take for granted, but it's something that God is going to use, because in the end of the day, as we minister, as you minister, and literally bring the two together for one new man, the thing that's going to provoke them, again, just like you said, is, wait a minute, what you're operating in is what I should have, because
that's
what
right.
I see is the blessing of Abraham.
Yes.
I see you like a star and like the sand. I see you walking in immeasurable prosperity. Now, I'm not talking about just money. I see the blessing of God functioning in your life. I see the prophetic decrees. I see the power of an Elijah or an Elisha for miracles, signs, and wonders operating in you. These are all things that are part of their spiritual repertoire, and yet they don't have any current experience with it from the standpoint of anybody being able to move into that place. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, like Elijah had the Holy Ghost, like you have the Holy Ghost, how are you going to expect to move in it? And again, that is fourth dimension. It is the spirit man united with the Spirit of God, the two becoming one in that measure, and now operating to bring the people of God, or bring, of course, Israel back to God. And again, I'm 100%. I've shared with you some of the revelations that God has given me concerning one new man. For instance, the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the woman with the issue of blood and Jesus on his way to Jairus's house. I believe we are in the end stages of one of the most major moves of God the world will ever see. But it's going to be not only because the church operates in the fourth dimension, but we're also closely tied and united. We've now come into a full assurance of recognizing who we are as a brother to Israel. Now, I could share that real quick if you wanted me to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, see, you know, one of the things is, like, what I'm getting out of the fourth dimension is that it this year, this biblical year is coming up. This fall, I believe this fall feast, I believe this fall feast, 5784, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. That and you guys can go to our webpage and they'll put a link up there for the materials you can order to prepare for this. But I believe that, and I want to say this before you share this, is that I believe, and you and I talk about the kings and priests according to the order of Melchizedek. I believe we're there. I believe, I'm going to just say this, I believe prophetically is basically, we went through a season as the ecclesia like David, and we killed Goliath. But David took the anointing that he received from Samuel, and he knew that God would kill Goliath through him. He knew that, but he knew God killed him. But now we're like, what, 7-8 years later, and now we're at a place where Saul, that spirit of Saul, and that's what you're seeing in these nations, all these appointed by men, leaders, men and women, they are all expiring. They're expiring in the house of God and in all the seven mountains of influence. But what's going to happen at Rosh Hashanah, what's going to start is that, and I'm submitting this to you, and we haven't even talked about it, but this is going to go on with your prodigal message that you shared with me. Here's the key. David needs an impartation. He needs to change the way he interacts in the fourth dimension. He needs to go in not as David the shepherd, but as David the king and priest of Israel. He needs to have downloads and strategies that come out of the courts of heaven that equip him to be their king, and for him to speak out what God says, for him to proclaim and decree in the fourth dimension what God says. And that's what's getting released here in the fall feast. And I believe right now, even with this message, there are prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, there's leaders who are prodigals, who, because they operated in the third dimension, and in the flesh, and they got extremely wounded and rejected, they have not operated in that fourth dimension. They didn't even know about it. They're listening to us and going, man, I pray that what Pastor Philip and Rabbi are saying is real. But I believe that the Lord, in this season, he's going to rescue the prodigals. And the reason he's doing it is because he's preparing them for this end time remnant. Pastor.
Amen. You know, Rabbi, real quick, as I begin to set this up, I ask you one simple question. I already know the answer, but understanding that what you just said about David anointed as king, that he was being prepared all of his life to now step into the place where he could become a king. But what was it about David that qualified him to operate as a king? He understood priesthood. Mm-hmm. And this is where I believe many leaders have missed it. You can be a king and not be a priest. Mm-hmm. Because a priest has to minister to God first.
That's right.
And then on behalf of the people.
That's right.
And so many pastors and leaders, right, they function purely out of leadership anointing, but they don't have priestly anointing, which is fourth dimension. It's the ability, number one, to minister to God, but then once you're ministering to the Lord, you're receiving from God power, wisdom, revelation, understanding, counsel. I mean, over and over and over, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord gave him specific strategies for specific events, and when he obeyed God, he always won. Well, that's fourth dimension. That's the things that God does. You can't defeat Goliath in a three-dimensional realm. He'll whoop your butt. But when you're operating in the fourth dimension, you have a smooth stone and a sling that's been tried in the altar of God because of your lifestyle of worship. Now, setting all of that up.
No, that's so good.
So because what a lot of people, so we understand 5784 and four meaning the door, but we also understand that the Hebrew calendar and the
Gregorian.
I always wanted to call it Greco-Roman.
Gregorian
calendar, 2024, have also synchronized for this decade.
So, that's right.
And you recognize this from 5780. If you add 5780, that equals 20. So 5780 was 2020. 5781 was 2021. And that's going to happen only throughout this decade, which I just believe is a prophetic stamp, God saying, look, I'm synchronizing, I'm bringing
that's
these
right.
together. This is the decade that I'm going to synchronize, merge, bring the two together. And so that's part of what you and I are a part of. Well, 2024, the number 24, of course, is the number of the priesthood, and we're going to 2025. So I believe that this is the year that God is wanting those that are listening to us to literally from the balance of this year, from now
that's right.
until we reach Sukkot, that you literally begin to practice the presence of God, get back into fourth dimension, which is priestly order. When Abraham sacrificed Isaac on the altar, right, and God gave him the word of the Lord, like stars, like sand, it was because Abraham was operating in a priestly order. It was the priestly order that enabled him to reach beyond the veil of three dimension into the fourth dimension and access the realm that had been there all along. Now, how come Abraham didn't see it when he got there? Because it only existed in the fourth dimension. It was there all along. It wasn't like it was wandering up the other side of the mountain as Abraham was walking up this side. No, the realm was already there. It existed in the fourth dimension. It wasn't until he entered into his own altar experience before God in obedience as a priest that all of a sudden the veil is open and everything that God had provided. Now, he had spoken it by faith before he got there, but now God has provided a realm, and there it is, caught in the thicket. Again, a different story another time, but that's just another illustration of how the fourth dimension works, because in the fourth dimension, everything already exists. Everything that God has said, everything prophetically that God has declared will happen, has already happened. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that which has been is now, that which will be has already been, and God requires that which is past. God does everything beautiful in his time. So that's that passage of scripture that's telling us that these things are not just accessible, but God is wanting you now to begin to function or live in a place where you're able to not just access it, but access produces manifestation. Access produced a ram for Abraham to sacrifice so he and the lad could walk back down together and have the blessing of God being accounted unto him as righteousness on one side. So let's jump over into the, if you want to, real quick, the revelation of the prodigal, because people
yes.
need to understand this, and I think this is for leaders specifically,
yes.
that when you read the parable of the prodigal son, and many of you have preached it, taught it, you've heard it taught magnificently as an evangelistic tool to bring people back to Christ. But what many people miss is the beginning of the story. It says there was a certain landowner who had two sons, right? And it was the younger son who came to the father and said, give us our inheritance. And the father divided unto them his spoil. Well, the Lord showed me, this has been probably 20 years ago or so. I was doing a conference out in California. I got this spiritual download in just a second out of Luke chapter 15. But the Lord showed me, look, the older son is Israel. The younger son is the church. It's the church that received the inheritance. We understand from the book of Acts, when the outpouring of the Spirit of God came, the church was born. There was power, there was demonstration, there was anointing. The fourth dimension was operating at such a degree that 12 men turned the world upside down and initiated a move of God that has lasted until our day. But like the prodigal, it wasn't after many days that he went on a journey, and on the journey wasted his goods with riotous living. Well, doesn't that look like the church? The church went through the dark ages. The church went through all sorts of times and seasons there where it barely lived. It barely made it. Thank God for the incorruptible seed of the gospel. Mm-hmm. But the church was barely hanging on by a thread. But when you see the story of the prodigal, when he was enjoined to a landowner, to a citizen of a foreign country, and there was back in slavery, back working in the fields, back working, and would have fain had he not eaten the food of the pigs, when he came to himself and said, I will arise and go back to my father. This, I believe, is a very clear picture of what God is wanting the church to realize is, look, it's time to go back to your roots. It's time to go back to the roots of your forefathers, to the roots of fish, to the feast of the Lord, to understand that these are the things that are going to draw you in to the deeper, more revelatory experiences. And so it's when the son, the prodigal, begins his journey back that the father sees him a long way off and runs to him. Now, I've shared this, I've preached this many places and many times, that run of the father to the son is what we've all been praying for, this major move of God, this wind of God, the power of God coming in the earth, the restoration of Pentecost. But watch what happens, because the father runs to the son and immediately lays on his neck and kisses him. Now, you and I understand that that is a revelation of the restoration of sonship. The father lays upon his neck, fully embraces him, draws him into his bosom, and begins to kiss him with a holy kiss. In other words, the restoration began immediately. And of course, calls for the shoes, sonship, calls for the restoration of the best garments and the ring of authority and all of the things that are restored. And you guys have all preached this and you know this, and I'm not here to teach on all of that, but it's when then the father restores everything to the son, which I believe again is the picture of the church at this hour. There is a move of restoration to those of us who have an ear, who are returning to the roots, who are returning to our Father. I'm not saying you quit being a Christian when you were out there in the world, but there are things that we must learn and understand about the ways of God and the kingdom of God. Now, God restores all of that, and there is a feast. Well, what time was this? What feast do you think this was? It was probably Sukkot. It was probably the time of the indwelling where they killed the fatted calf. They begin to come into a party. That's right. And they have this great, 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 great time. So you're talking about coming into the feast of the Lord, going into 5785. I believe that God, of course, is wanting to restore, renew, refresh, and bring people into the place. But it's that celebratory release of the power and the glory of God that the older son, who was out in the field, says, what means the sound of this music? And the servant says, well, your brother who was dead is now alive, who was lost is now found. And of course, at first, the older brother gets mad. He's angry, right? But he's being provoked to jealousy. And the father comes to the son and says, son, what's wrong? The older son, and says, son, what's wrong? And he says, well, how can this be? And the father says to the son, son, as long as you were with me, all that I had was yours. In other words, there's never been this replacement. There's never been anything that many have taught and scholars have argued over for years. No, Israel is still, the Jews are still the older brother. I consider them my older brother, but it is my job, if you will, to provoke them to jealousy. Not that I think of myself better, but I understand I've received an inheritance already through the blood of Jesus, and they need to recognize that power so that they too can begin to function, because the older brother never realized that the inheritance was theirs all along, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is so exciting because that's what I believe is going to happen in this fall, 5785. So if you look at the numerical numbers, just for our people listening here, I know you know this, but you have 5, which is grace, 7 is perfection, 8 is new beginnings, and 5 again. So there's a double door, 5 of grace, that is going to open up. And I believe there's going to be grace for the ecclesia and grace for Israel. I believe everything you just said is a prophetic time clock of what's happening. I even believe you and I coming together here, Jew and Gentile, as one new man, because one of the keys, the steps into the courts of heaven and the steps into, for me, the steps into the fourth dimension is, number one, you need the restoration of one new man. You need the blood of Jesus to awaken you that he made one new man from the two, thus making peace. You cannot be anti-Semitic, anti-anything. You have to understand that God has made us as one new man. And then you need to embrace yourself as being cleansed from all hate, all racism, as the new man. And the new man needs to say, as the new man, I am going to have different habits and patterns and thought. And the new man goes into the fourth dimension first and doesn't do the third dimension and then ask the fourth dimension in God to bless it. I go to him first. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is the steps of this. And when you do this, then the inner man starts to change, because once you start getting signs, wonders, miracles, and provision, and things start to operate, then the love of God is poured out in you from the results, and it creates a fullness. And I believe what we're talking about on this podcast today is, Paul spoke about it in the Romans. He said, how much more the fullness, with his a fourth dimension word, fullness of the love of God being poured out on Jew and Gentile. And that's what's coming to the world today. And I know that Satan has done everything he can to bring corruption and especially separation between the United States and Israel. But that assignment is broken because for the master has need of it. The master has created the United States of America with a Judeo-Christian republic and a constitution that's founded in biblical principles to stand in the hour of the return and the preparation of the Messiah before we rule and reign in the fourth dimension of the latter reign of the millennial reign for 1,000 years in the New Jerusalem. We are in the most precious time, child of God. You need to be able to embrace that fourth dimension. You need to come boldly into the throne room of that fourth dimension and say, here I am, Lord, heal me. Excuse me. And so what you're saying, Pastor, I'm just so, so excited about. And so would you pray for the people right now that they would not be afraid of the spiritual realm?
Absolutely. You know, of course, we all know that God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind. We can quote the scripture all day long. But the truth is that the spiritual realm, as I said, I believe in the previous broadcast, you need to understand that the spiritual realm is not other than, it's actually a dimension that you were created to operate in. Not only were you created to operate in the spiritual dimension, but God has empowered you and given you power over all the power of your enemy, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, etc. So as I pray for you today, I want you to understand that God is not only just awakening something on the inside of you, but imparting, depositing, and anointing you with his glory and his power to be able to stand in the days ahead. We have taught people for years that, look, as we continue to progress, it's going to be the church and Israel against the world. The world, the governments, the nations, the religions of the world, they are all coming together against Israel and the church, because Israel and the church have become one and are now the most powerful force together that earth has ever seen, because that's the dominion of God's body, his people. So anyhow, let me pray for you real quick, and it'll be my honor. But if you're listening, just put your hand on your chest.
Yeah,
I prayed it in the last broadcast, but I'm going to pray it again, that God will enlarge your heart in the fear of God, that you will walk in such a fear of God that you'll never fear the face of man, that you will have such a love, hunger, and thirst for the righteousness of God and God's word, that your life will forever be transformed because your mind now begins to move into the fulfillment of Isaiah 28:6, that God keeps them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him, because he has given you power to turn battles back at the gate. Back to Genesis 22:18, for my seed will possess the gates of their enemy. So you're going to begin to function in two dimensions at the same time. Let me pray. Holy Ghost, I give you praise. Jesus, you are the King of glory. Once again, I prophesy, speak, declare, and decree over every person that's under the sound of my voice. Enlarge their hearts. Hearts be enlarged now in the fear of God. Father, in these days, let there be such a supernatural transformation of the mind that as they align themselves with you, they will find greater dimensions of your power and glory flowing from their lives, not based on the works of their flesh, but based purely, God, upon the works of your flesh, Jesus, as you came to the earth and gave yourself as the ransom for our sin and rose again. Holy Ghost, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickening now our mortal bodies, may that power begin to manifest in every level and degree of our lives. Father, I give you praise and I thank you that without fear, without contradiction, the less is blessed by the greater. And so may the blessing of God flow upon and in their lives through the priesthood of Melchizedek. I give you praise, God, and I thank you that you have called them blessed. And in blessing you, bless them, multiplying you, multiplying them, making them like stars, like sand, and giving them the ability to possess the gates of their enemies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want to close with this, Pastor Philip, and I wanted you to pray for them first, because I want you to be able to, on this podcast, to be able to discern what I'm going to share. I've not shared this with Pastor Philip, but I'm going to share it now. So a few weeks back, I pray, and one of the things I do, I'm not trying to confuse people, I go into the courts of heaven. I go into the fourth dimension. And I'm a seer, and a lot of times I will see things. So what happens is when I see an image, then in my head, I don't speak it out, I say to the Lord, why am I seeing this? And then he'll give me some interpretation. But we do prophesy in part, and we look through a glass dimly. And in the last episode of the podcast, I had you download a free download, and it was about the vault. And you can go ahead, if you can get it now, if you want, you can go to KurtLandry.com/vault, V-A-U-L-T, 4D. So this kind of led into everything that we're doing here. So I want to share this with you, and please, I want you to add to and correct and direct if what I'm getting is not right either, because I just submit it to you, because we all just look through a glass dimly. Okay, this is what I saw. I was in the courts of heaven, and I was praying about the fall feast and the season coming up, 5785, and the Lord showed me a vault. And the vault was like a vault like we have in Oklahoma, and you probably have there in Pennsylvania. It looked like a gun vault, you know, which would be like a refrigerator for some of you. I mean, it's not just a small, this is like an average-sized refrigerator. But the tumbler on it wasn't a tumbler with numbers. It was a clock. And the clock was a clock that I actually minister on about resetting your clock to the Lord. 12 o'clock being seek first the kingdom. Deuteronomy, I think it's 8. It says that God wants to establish, he gives you wealth to establish his covenant. And then Galatians 5, the fruit of the spirit. And then it goes on to 9 is more than a conqueror. It's a clock. So the Lord says, all right, he says, in order to open this vault, you're going to have to set your clock to my fourth dimension and my time. And then on the vault itself, kind of in the in the metal of the vault, kind of imprinted in it, was it said 4D vault. So, and so I asked the Lord what that meant. He says, this is the fourth dimension vault. Then in the next vignette that I was seeing in this vision in the courts of heaven, there was a huge logging chain all around the vault, and it was locked. So, and then there's the handle. You would have just the handle that you would, you know, turn to open the vault like this. And I said, what's the handle? And he says, the handle is obedience. The chain is every fear and every pride in man. I said, okay, so in order to open it, I've got to be able to get rid of that chain. And the Lord said, call on the fire of God. And then the next thing I saw, the next in the vignette, was a cutting torch. I used to do metal work, so I worked in, so I know how a cutting torch operates, which is basically a balance between fire and then the element of gas and oxygen, H2O. And so when it's balanced right, it actually can get, you have to get the chain hot enough. And then when it's hot enough, you hit the air and you can cut through it. And so that is a fourth dimension of cutting. So anyway, I'm looking at this thing. And so in this vision, the cutting torch comes and the fear of the Lord, I called on fire, decreed the fire to come, and it cut the chain and the chain fell to the ground. But it was interesting, when the chain fell to the ground, it transformed from a chain into a snake. And the Lord said, that's fear and pride. And he says, open it now. Don't let it get back up on the vault. So I opened it up. And when I did, inside the vault were four large Torah scrolls, like you would have in a synagogue, like Dead Sea Scrolls. There are four. And the Lord said, this is the fourth dimension scrolls and the mystery of the key of making peace with the scrolls. And I said, well, what are the scrolls? And the scrolls, he said, these are the four seasons of your life. And then he took me into Genesis, where it says, as long as the earth exists, there'll be seed time and harvest, winter, summer, light, and day and night. And then he said, but you have to make peace with these scrolls. I don't have my notes in front of me. I wasn't planning on going this deep into it, but I think it was Ezekiel 3:33. I think it is. Anyway, we can correct it. But he said, eat the scrolls. And the prophet had to eat the scrolls. And when he ate the scrolls, he said, it needs to taste like honey. Okay. So it needs to taste like honey. So I asked the Lord, what are the four scrolls? He said, the four scrolls is you have to take what you've been through in your life, the first 1 through 25, 25 to 50, 50 to 75, 75 to 100. He said, so depending on what scroll you're in your life, in order in the fourth dimension to get the pure 100% download out of the fourth dimension, you have to make peace with how you came into this life, how you were conceived. That first 25 years, it may deal with, you know, molestation or, you know, orphan or whatever you went through. You have to eat and taste that scroll and know that the creator of the universe knew what that he is preparing all of that. You need to trust his written script for your life. Eat it and taste and see it as good. Then 25 to 50, 50 to 75, and then for most of us, 75 to 100. We need to trust in the Lord that we, whatever the Lord has written in our script, we need to consume it with our mouth, because when we consume it, it consumes us. So in that fourth dimension is not just hearing, reading, and seeing words, it's consuming words that transform us into the likeness. Because the fourth dimension has the power to not only for us to consume it, but it consumes us and transforms us into that image, in that likeness of which he has prepared us for. So he says, but you have to make peace with, so to say, the script writer, which is God himself. And so I saw this dimension, and the Lord says, you have to open the vault every day. For the Lord's mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And he said, and the chain will turn into a snake, and you have to call on the fire of God to cut your fears, your prides, your anxieties of what you're going to see. And the Lord says, this needs to become a lifestyle and a practice of the vault of the fourth dimension between now and when I return.
Amen. Rabbi, that's absolutely powerful. I love the fact that we have to consume it till it consumes us. The scrolls of heaven may be sweet to the taste, but sometimes bitter to the belly, because it brings us into required and necessary transformations so that we're not being conformed, so that we're not living, because most people return to what's familiar. And if they've lived in fear all of their life,
yes,
they've been intimidated, that's what they're going to do. But God's saying, no, you've got to break out of that, so that in the seasons, in the four scrolls of your life, you are able to accomplish. And remember that there's never a time in life that you're able to stop, because each season is going to produce more in the kingdom of God. In blessing, I will bless, and in multiplying. Tell you what, that's powerful as it relates to the fourth dimension. And I'm telling you what, I'm accessing my vault and going after my scrolls.
Yes. Well, I knew that, you know, they can download it and it's written up. So there's more detail, because I think I misquoted the Ezekiel scripture, but you know what scripture I'm talking about. But I wasn't planning on bringing that out just at this time. But here's the thing, is this is what we're talking about in the fourth dimension, and is a lifestyle change. And one of the reasons I'm so glad that I've met Pastor Philip and Gwen, and they've come into our life, brand new to our life. But I think we're here to be able to help people to trust the Lord. It's okay to go into that fourth dimension. You know, I know you had a background, and you weren't, you know, you got saved, you know, and you had a life beforehand like myself. I know that there's the depth of the fourth dimension in the wrong direction into the pit of hell because of different drug experiences I've had. But I also know that the other side is the spiritual, going into the heights. And so I just pray that, Father God, that you give people a boldness to not waste God's time and waste your life in decisions of the flesh. Go into the vault first every day and get your instructions. And when you do, your life will have a major impact on the world. And the people need to see somebody that has it working for them. If it's all right, I'm going to close with this on my part. My notes I wrote here when I was doing this. Messiah, I pray that Messiah will dwell in our hearts by faith, in order that we may comprehend the fourth dimension of the inner man. That is, that we may know the love of Messiah Yeshua in the fullness and the full measure, and be filled with the fullness of the Godhead this day in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Pastor Philip, tell us how can our people find you, and what's your web pages and the contact information?
Praise the Lord. Well, first of all, Rabbi, thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share in your podcast. And we count it as you an honor to have you guys in our life. Though it's new, we believe it's for the purposes of the kingdom for the days ahead. And so we look forward to all that God's going to do. Simply stated, www.legacyfaithchurch.com. It's very simple, legacyfaithchurch.com. If you want to contact us, there's a contact form there. All kinds of content there, teaching. You can go to our YouTube page or our Facebook page. All of it is Legacy Faith Church, Legacy Faith Church, Harrisburg. We're located in the capital of Pennsylvania, and we are praying as well for this,
yes,
city, this region, and this state to turn completely back to God in this hour. So praise the Lord.
Yes, yes. May the Lord turn it red in Yeshua's name. Praise, amen, the Lord. Well, give our love to Gwen and your family and your congregation, which was so generous and so kind and honoring to us. The hospitality, if you need a good church and a family, if you need a community, this is the thing. You need to be able to come to Faith Legacy Church. It's a great, great fellowship, and we are honored to be there. So anyway, God bless you and shalom. Also, please sign up and get our fall feast guides and get ready for, I love what Pastor said there, and I agree with that too. Shalom, shalom.